pray for the service, Lord. We just thank you for your grace, Lord, for all the truths that we can find in it, Lord. We just ask you to please quiet our hearts now. The message that you have for us, and Lord, just please fill Pastor Jones with your Holy Spirit to come forward and preach the message and pray on his heart. Lord, we love you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right. Amen. So we are continuing on with our Heroes of Hypocrisy series. And you ask again, like, what is it about that title? Why do you call them Heroes of Hypocrisy? Well, for one, you know, to mention our city councilman, Councilwoman Lisa Sanchez, and the other guy we're going to talk about tonight, Jimmy Halliburton. If I wanted to learn how to be a hypocrite full time and be really good at it, I would go to them. 100%. I would study what they do. I would mimic everything that they say and that they do and that they portray, how they portray themselves. And I would just go for it. Because, look, there's hypocrites and then there's heroes of it, okay? And from what I've read and from what we've already talked about, I would say that those people are examples of heroes of hypocrisy, okay? And obviously, everything that I'm teaching about hypocrisy can be applied to many different politicians. But, you know, we have a job as ambassadors to expose the evil of our community, no matter how great or how little the position is. See, a lot of people, well, why go after a councilman? Well, it doesn't matter. They're leaders in this community. You know, they're in a position of leadership. And with that position comes stewardship. You got to remember that. Leadership is stewardship. And so that makes them accountable, not only to the mayor, but also to the taxpayers. And everybody in here pays their taxes. And so we have every right just by that saying to audit what they do and what they say and the agendas that they push. And we will continue to do so. But we also have a biblical mandate to do the same, because being a hypocrite in charge, like we learned last week, remember what Job said? He said that when a hypocrite is in charge, well, not Job, but Elihu, what happens? What is the result amongst the people? And it's ensnared, being trapped, right? And so there's a lot of things that the Bible teaches about hypocrites and about hypocrisy. In fact, there are some things that people will accuse you, you know, they'll accuse you of, or they'll say, well, you're a hypocrite, when in fact you're actually not a hypocrite. And that's not to say, look, everybody in here has been a hypocrite. We've talked about that. We understand that. Remember last week we talked about a hypocrite is somebody who feigns themselves one way, right? They portray themselves as like righteous or holy, as good, but inwardly they're full of dead man's bones, okay? And remember how we went back to Romans chapter 7 and we talked about how Paul said, you know, that which I do, I allow not. You know, in that passage and in that chapter, he doesn't say I'm a hypocrite. He's just saying, hey, I'm a sinner. I am carnal. And that's everybody in here, saved or lost. We are all guilty of not practicing what we preach. But that doesn't mean that you are a hypocrite. But yet every hypocrite does those things. But remember, if you could just remember this one phrase, it'll help you remember and distinguish the difference between a hypocrite and just being a sinner. And that is, exaltation is their motivation. You say, what drives a hypocrite to be the way they are? It's that they're motivated by exalting themselves. That is their goal. They want to be lifted up in the limelight. They want to be portrayed as some kind of a hero, some kind of a spiritual or moral or political savior, if you will. But really, they're nothing but greedy, ravenous wolves, okay? So, let's continue on here with the review. So we started last week in Job, and then we went to Matthew chapter 7, and we went through the first five verses here where Jesus is explaining, hey, if you're going to judge, make sure you get the beam out of your own eye, right? Make sure that you're not struggling with the same thing that the other person you're trying to correct is struggling with. You know, and people will take a look at that and they say, okay, well, we're all sinners, so that means we can never judge anything, never judge anyone for any reason. And that's exactly not what he's saying here, right? And so just for a quick review, look at verse 1. He says, judge not that ye be not judged. You know that the world and most of Christianity, they just stop right there, close the book and go home. But we like to keep reading here. Verse 2, it says, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye met, it shall be measured to you again. Verse 3, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? And the reason why he's explaining this situation to us, like we talked about last week, is a person that is a hypocrite lacks judgment. Right? They lack judgment. That was the whole point of the sermon last week. They lack judgment. And if you're a city councilman, you're a mayor, you're a politician, or you're some kind of a leader, you're in a position of authority, you have to realize that you have something to steward over, right? And we read the definition and we will read it again about what a city councilman does. We have to understand that they need judgment just to be in those positions.
Right.
right? And you see what happens is the world, they look and they hear the things that these politicians do. And I, you know, we sympathize with them. They get upset and they don't know how to handle the situation. And so they lash out and they say these horrible things to these people because they're ensnared. They're trapped. They don't know what else to do. They realize that their recall petitions and all these things that they do out on the street, the sign waving, it does nothing. It doesn't do any good at all. The real effort is door to door out in the community with a real sword from the Word of God. That is what causes change. You can get all the signatures that you want. You can do all that legwork that you want. And look, we'll sign your petitions. We support you. We love you. We want you to be saved. But the real battle and the real results depends on us getting people saved, period. You will never change someone's mental destination for good until you can change your eternal destination. Because then they can see clearly truth from the Bible and really realize what the battle is all about. It's not about getting a bunch of Republicans into office, right? Yes, things tend to run smoother for us when they are, typically. But that's not the battle. Because then the devil's just going to go after them and corrupt them, okay? And so we're going to keep reading here. Look at verse number 4. He says, "Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam that is in thine own eye?" And we talked about this last week. The hypocrite loves to point fingers. They love to point fingers. And that's exactly what we read about Lisa Sanchez last week, right? She's loving to point the fingers at everybody who doesn't agree with her. Every white person, it's every white person's fault, right? White people are the devil. They all have privilege. And we're going to revisit a lot of that material tonight and even talk about some new stuff. And you're going to see that is not true. That is not, that in and of itself disqualifies her from her position. She has demonstrated by her mouth that she lacks judgment. She lacks the ability to be able to discern between a matter. And so by that, she needs to step down and leave that job to somebody who can do it, who can be trusted, who can be a good steward with the community resources. Verse 5, Jesus says this, "Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." And so, like I said last week, if you're struggling with, you know, a big sin, I don't know, it's, yeah, you got a deal with music or something like that. Or you like to drink, you know, and you're going around and pointing at other people doing the same things. You know, you're a hypocrite.
Yep.
Because you're portraying yourself as, you know, well, I don't do these things. I'm righteous. I'm super spiritual. I'm always listening to sermons. As soon as I roll out of bed, I got the hymns on. I read 18 chapters. You know, you're doing all this stuff, but, you know, reality's telling us something a little bit different, okay? And the difference between that person and the guy who's like, man, I just suck. I just can't get it together. You know, I'm just struggling with this stuff. You know, I'd rather be in that category. And we all find ourselves in that category all the time, right? Because guess what? We're all sinners. We are carnal. Just like Paul said, look, Paul was the best Christian that ever walked the face of the earth. I believe that. I truly believe that. And you know what? He said, I am carnal. I struggle with these things. The things that I tell people not to do, I do them. Right? But at least he's honest about it. So that means he's not a hypocrite by that sense. Yeah. The hypocrite says, I don't do that. The hypocrite's like the Pharisee, right? The long garments, the flowing, you know, hair and the stuff coming off. I don't know that flowing hair, but might as well, right? We'll just charge that to their, just kidding. But you get the point, right? They speak spiritual. They look physically spiritual. They talk about the Bible. They talk about religious things. But inwardly, Jesus said, hey, they're full of dead men's bones. These people cannot be trusted. They have no judgment, which is why they couldn't see the things that Jesus was telling them, right? And then we didn't cover verse 6, which we're going to spend some time doing this evening. So verse 6, he goes on to say this, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine." And then he says why you should follow this advice, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. What does that mean? Tear you, destroy you, ensnare you, trap you, okay? Keep your place there and go to Proverbs chapter number 9. Proverbs chapter number 9. So he says, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs." Are we talking about Clifford? Are we talking about the Paw Patrol? Are we talking about Fido? Are we talking about your black lab? About a pit bull? Who are we talking about here? Well, if you go back to Deuteronomy, we're talking about the Sodomites, right? And there's other verses in the Bible that just mention wicked people in general, people that hate God, that are hell-bent and set on causing destruction. The Bible calls them dogs. If you look up the word dog in the Bible, you're going to find either the animal or you're going to find a very wicked person,
yeah,
like a sodomite, okay? And that's what he's saying. He's saying, hey, give not that which is holy unto the dogs. This is why we do not allow dogs to come into this church.
Right. Yeah.
This is why we don't give them responsibility, right? This is why we don't give them our trust. Why? Because as God's children, those things are holy.
Amen.
Your trust, your responsibility, your mission is holy unto God.
Yeah.
And you should never give that which is holy unto the dogs. We should never set our trust on some city council, on some mayor, or some politician. Why? Because this place is all going to burn someday.
Yeah.
And it's going to be because of those types of people.
Yep, right.
Now, you're there in Proverbs chapter 9. Look at verse number 7. It says this, he that reproveth a scorner getteth himself shame. He that reproveth himself a scorner getteth himself shame. Why does the Bible say that? What is a scorner? Somebody who causes trouble, just mocks at truth all the time, who's just scornful, who's just like, oh, you knocked on my door, I'm calling the Department of Health on you, I'm calling the police on you, I can't believe you went like that onto my wooden door. How dare you do something like that? What a tragedy!
Yeah.
Right? That's a scorner.
Yeah.
Okay? And if you try to correct somebody who's that hostile, who's that angry about God, guess what? It does you no good.
Yep.
This is why we tell them, hey, shut up, go back inside and leave us alone.
Yeah.
Because that's the best you can do with those types of people,
yeah,
right? To try to sit there, oh, let me reason with you. Let me try to help you. Let me try to give you a blessing. No, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Go to the liberal churches if you want to see that.
Yeah.
You know what happens? They take that and they turn around and rend those people.
Yeah.
He goes on to say, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Because wicked people, dogs, they don't like to take correction.
Yep.
Right, that is a hallmark of a wicked person. You try to correct them and they want to fight. They want to harm you. They want to turn around and rend you. That's why Jesus said, don't give that which is holy unto dogs. Verse number 8, he says, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man and he will love thee. Right? And so that's what we're doing when we go out to the community. We're looking for those people who are left in this world who are wise, who are willing to hear the whole matter, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we tell them this is a free gift. You believe this gift, you're saved forever. It's a done deal. You don't have to worry anymore. That's our mission. That's our goal. And that's what we will continue to do because that makes a difference. That is what builds our nation up. And that's what we should care more about than what's going on around us. Is our nation, which is God's nation, not the United States of America. Now go back to Matthew chapter number 7. And while you're turning back there, I'll read for you Proverbs 23:9, which says, speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. So when you can perceive that somebody is a fool, that somebody is foolish, that somebody is a mocker or a scorner, don't try to reason with them. Don't try to help them out. And you say, why are you bringing this up? There has to be some kind of a point. Yeah, the point is, I'm not preaching this sermon to try to help these city councilmen.
Right.
I'm preaching this for our edification and for our knowledge. And so that if there's ever anybody listening who's not sure what we're all about, they can hear this and be like, okay, you know what? Wow, I need to get on board with the real fight.
Amen.
This isn't to help them change. They're not going to change. They hate God. And I can prove that to you. They are fools. And so this isn't meant for them. This isn't meant for the mayor. This isn't meant for any commie Marxist person around here. No, this is meant for God's people.
Amen.
So again, verse number 6, give not that which is holy unto the dogs. This is not for the dogs. This is a rebuke of the dogs.
Good.
Neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. And that is exactly what's going on today, and not just this community, but in every community in this country and throughout the entire world. What's going on is people are casting their trust onto some politician or some local politician to save them. And what happens every time? They're hypocrites. They're already going to trap you. They destroy you. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11 that a hypocrite destroyeth his neighbor. You cannot trust these people, but especially God's people. Look, there are so many brothers and sisters out there who are legitimately saved, who spend a lot of their time focused on politics. And they go around, we got to change this. We got to change that. Look, we love them. We pray for them. I wish no ill will against them. But all of those efforts are for naught. It's not going to change anything. It's not going to do any good for you because these people are hypocrites, and they will turn around again and rend you. Look, every time I hear about some church, right, even with saved people, they're like, well, we're tolerant, we bring it to sodomites. Guess what happens every time, unfortunately? They molest the kids 100% of the time. Every single time it happens. Every time. Look, if you're a kid, you like to go to Toys R Us. If you're a dog, you like to come to where the kids are at. It's just that simple. That's how it is. And they will do anything that they can to fit in. Yeah. And that includes, you know, being imposters, you know, portraying themselves like they're one of us. That is what they do. They are masters at it. They love that. They love that exaltation. They love that motivation. And they love to use that to just destroy people, because that's what this attitude does to people. So you don't have to turn there. But speaking of the pearls, you say, why does he use pearls? Right? Well, let me just read this verse for you. Matthew 13:45. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. Right? He says the kingdom of heaven is like. So right now, right, present tense, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchantman going around and seeking goodly pearls. Well, that's what this church does, right? We go throughout the community and we're looking for those pearls. We're looking for that which is valuable, right? We're looking for people who want to be saved, right, who want to join the fight of God and get saved and get on board and all the stuff that we talk about, right? So a pearl is something valuable. So first of all, we should never give that responsibility unto a dog. Right now, I'm not saying that unsaved people can't come in here and sit in service and come out song of this. Of course they can. It's no problem at all. But we would never, ever in a million years tolerate somebody who is a known verified dog.
Right.
At all. I don't care what anybody says. Okay. And I've even been accused of doing that very thing in this church. Yeah. I mean, how many people do we have to throw out of here before I can prove to you that that's not the case? Right. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous. But you know what? The pearls, what that means, it's not just the gospel, but it's everything that is holy to the believer. It's God's word. It's your trust. It's your responsibility. It's your loyalty. It's your stewardship. It's everything that God gives you. It's your gifts, right? That's what he's talking about there. We should never give that unto the dogs. And this is why we shouldn't give our hearts and our minds in that pit of your stomach feeling to these politicians.
Right.
Look, I know it's hard. You know, when I read some of this stuff, it burns my stomach. I get upset and I have to remind myself, okay, hold on. I'm an ambassador. This is not my home. I'm just passing through. I'm just a spectator. I'm just watching the show. And then I calm right down. You know, that I literally have to have that conversation with myself on a daily basis in this time. You know, it's insane, but it's the way it is. Now, let's see here. Well, just keep your place there. I'm going to read some stuff for you. So I'm going to review again what I talked about last week. I just want to make sure that everybody understands this. What is the job description of a city council? Remember, it's this. City council members, and I took this from Boise's page. City council, also known as town council, they are tasked with representing the interests of their constituents in addition to proposing, pacifying, and ratifying laws and ordinances. City councils manage budgets and investigate city agencies when necessary. And like I said last week, that requires discernment. That requires judgment. But it also requires something else that we all have and that every leader on the planet has and they are accountable for, and that is responsibility. I said this before, I'll say it a million times. Leadership is stewardship. Everybody who's in a position of leadership is accountable to someone. They are accountable to someone. Those people in the city council, look, if they want to be Democrats, that's on them. If they want to be commies, that's on them. But here's the problem. If they show themselves mentally incompetent, they need to be removed. Because they don't meet the criteria that's on their own website, that they swore an oath to, that they took an oath for. If they even take oaths, I don't even know if they do, but I'm, you know, Uncle Sam's real big on making people take oaths, so I just said that. But you get the point, right? They are people who are called upon to do investigations of city agencies. And why in the world would you want to have people that are against judgment, that have no judgment, that cannot discern in that position? It makes no sense. And see, here's the problem. Those types of people, they don't just stay councilmen, right? Then they want to be mayor somewhere else. And they're probably not going to get that job here in Idaho, right? You know, maybe one of them will get the mayor someday, maybe not. It depends on how hard we can fight. But you know what? They'll go to some other poor city and they'll terrorize them and they'll just keep climbing the ladder. You know what? They'll just keep on climbing up. But the more that we can educate people about this subject, the better off we will be. And again, the real battle is on the streets with the gospel. That's where it's at. That's what makes the difference. And I just wish that we could get all of these guys with the signs to realize that. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. There's no liberty. You can say, I'm a Christian and I go to the church in my living room. But look, God doesn't respect that. And I can prove that to you very easily. Just call the church number. I'll square it away for you. You'll be good to go. You won't have any more questions about it unless you're so stuck on that and so full of pride that you can't see. Right. Then you won't understand it. But otherwise, I'll take care of that for you. And get down here and join the fight. And so last week I said this, I said this statement, and this was basically the whole point. Hypocrites in charge ensnare people because they lack judgment, because they lack judgment. And we talked about that letter that Lisa Sanchez wrote to Michael Wallace's parents. Remember that? We're going to kind of review that because it's worth reviewing, right? It is worth reviewing. And it's worth reviewing the rebuttal, or not the rebuttal, but her statements about that later on. I don't remember if I read those last week, but I'm going to read those for you this week. So that was the point last week. Now let's look at this verse again here one more time. Matthew 7:6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you, right? So we should never give our hearts, never give our emotions, never get that which is holy unto the dogs. Those people are dogs. It's what they are. I'm not trying to be rude. It's a fact. It's truth. It's reality. It is what it is. Yep. And so you know what this is also telling us? As Bible believers, we are required to make moral distinctions. We are required to make moral distinctions. We're supposed to say, okay, wait, there's a dog, right? There's a wicked person. I shouldn't have anything to do with that person. That person does not belong in the house of God. That person doesn't belong with the Bible. That person doesn't belong with anything that God would give us to steward, period. Right. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. You know, I wonder how the Pursuit's going to interpret that verse. I wonder how the Summit's going to interpret that verse. I wonder how Stonehenge would interpret that verse. Yeah, okay. You know, if they would even have the guts to read it. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. Here's the point for today. A hypocrite in charge ensnares people because they cannot be trusted with responsibility. They cannot be trusted with responsibility. That's why Jesus gives us this statement on the tail end of talking about a hypocrite. Right? They lack judgment, but they also lack responsibility. So the Bible is telling us, hey, those dogs, they cannot handle the responsibility that they have. And let me show that to you here in a little statement that Lisa Sanchez wrote on her Facebook page. Listen to this. She says, open carry. Remember, these people are politicians. They're in a position of leadership, right? This is America. She says this, open carry is a legal way for white supremacists to intimidate the rest of us. Oh, wow. Open carry is a legal way for white supremacists to intimidate the rest of us. This is anybody, any white boy in here. And by the way, everybody's white in here, according to her. Even you brown people. Right? If you don't agree with her commie Marxist views, you are white. Yep. You are not only white, but a white supremacist. Yep. Now, do you think that that kid who shot up into the air, do you think that he goes to Ku Klux Klan rallies and wears the cone hat and dances around the burning cross? I seriously doubt it. He went down there so that these people wouldn't cause a Portland or a Seattle type situation with other patriots, right? That's why he went down there, and she sees that, and oh, you're a white supremacist. So get that and understand that everybody, look, God hates racism. He made all the nations of the earth of one blood. That's Bible doctrine, right? We don't look at racism. I'm not denying racism. I talked about this last week. I've seen it in my own life when I was growing up because my mom was Mexican. I've told you the story about how one time we went on vacation, right? We went down to Ocean Shores. I walked into this hotel. It was the Shiloh Inn. I'll never forget it. I walked into there with my mom. The sign said vacancy. It said like 3 rooms or something like that. Walk in there with her, and she's like, the lady's like, oh, we don't have any rooms available. My mom's like, well, it says 3. Oh, well, we have to change it. No joke. I walk out of the parking lot. My dad's like, that doesn't sound right. I walk in there with him literally 5 minutes later, and she's like, yes, sir, what can I do for you? We have plenty of rooms available, right? And we wound up getting those rooms for free because of that. Yeah. So look, I'm not denying racism. There are people who are racist out there, but it's not just white people. There are Chinese people out there that are racist. When I was in Japan, I met Japanese people that thought all Chinese people were homosexuals. And they said that eating soybeans is what causes it. I'm serious. I'm serious. I went to this restaurant with these Japanese guys. These guys are crazy, all on steroids. You know, they're the counterculture of Japan, right? We go in there, and one of the workers, he comes down and sets this big old bowl of, like, I guess they were soybeans. I look like string beans. I'm like, I don't know my vegetables too well. And they were like, no, it said something, and basically did like this, and the guy took it. And I asked the interpreter, I was like, what was up with that? And he's like, well, this guy over here, his name was Nayuki. He's fought in the UFC a few times. I think he's lost all of them, but super strong guy nonetheless. And he said that eating those types of vegetables make you like a Chinese man. And I was like, what does that mean? And he's like, well, they're all homosexuals, all of them. You know, and that's obviously not true, right? There's safe people in China, and there's some good people there. But that, I mean, I just realized, whoa, these people are racist. Yeah. I've met Philippine people that are the same way. Okay, so there's all manner of kindreds that fight and bicker and argue. Right. And yeah, there's skinheads and there's Ku Klux Klan people, but you know, there's also Black Panthers. Yeah.
Right.
You know, and there's a lot of Black people that are racist as well.
Yeah.
And that's what nobody wants to talk about. But it's truth. It's reality. In the media right now, because they want to cause division, and they're smart. They realize the oldest trick in the book is to divide and conquer. So what better way to do it than to pit people's skin colors against each other? This is stupid. It's ridiculous. And this councilwoman has fallen prey to that ideology, and she is causing division, which is why? Why is she doing that? Because she lacks what? Judgment, and she cannot be trusted with responsibility. Do you want somebody like this as a steward of your rights, of your tax dollars? Saying that open carry is a way for white supremacists to intimidate the rest of us. I'm going to show you later on why that statement is so stupid, why it's so ridiculous. Open carry is a legal way for white supremacists to intimidate the rest of us. But you never hear her talk about what's going on in Portland, about the 100 plus days of rioting.
Right.
What about that? What about the semi-truckers that people are stopping in the highways and pulling out and beating them to death?
Right.
Do you want to? How come you don't want to talk about that? Is that okay? Yeah. I mean, I'm just asking a question.
Yeah.
Is that okay? And the answer is no. These people are hypocrites to the highest degree. Okay, so I'm gonna read you this quote that we read last week about her, and then I'm gonna show you her response. So she's being interviewed by KTVB, and here's the quote that she's being asked about it. Remember this, she says, your white child, so this is the letter, she says, your white child and gun-wielding white youth are described as simply exercising their First and Second Amendment rights. Again, their whiteness allows this to go unchallenged, while black and brown people are subject to harsh consequences and even killed for much less. Well, you know what, there were white, brown, black, and Asian patriots downtown with weapons,
yep,
with rifles and pistols, the same day that Michael Wallace was down there. There were all kindreds and tongues down there. You know, there were people that weren't even born in this country down there who earned their citizenship and don't want to see this country go the way that the country that they escaped went to.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. So she says, while black and brown people are subject to harsh consequences and even killed for much less, brown and black parents would never allow their children to do what your son did and these sick or other white youth did. We have too much reverence for the dead and the morning to allow foolishness. Now, that is somebody who lacks serious judgment. That is somebody who I would say is disqualified from a position of leadership. You cannot give somebody like this stewardship over our tax dollars. It is wrong. This is why, right? We don't just lash out and think, you're fat, you're ugly, you're weak, you're sick, you're stupid, right? Yeah, we all want to say those things, you know, and I get it. But the reality is she's disqualified because she cannot perform judgment. She cannot discern between her right hand and her left. This is disgusting.
Yeah.
This is disgusting and sickening to say something like this. It's obviously not even true. We have too much reverence for the dead. Right, she says, in my black Mexican-American Texas mother's house, her rules for human decency superseded the rights of the land. She would have sat on me to keep me in the house before she allowed one of her children to visit and hate and fear upon other people. Well, she hates white people. Right, so she's portraying herself as this victim, this super politically righteous person who wants to end violence and end hate and end white supremacy, but she wants to lift up, I guess, her race.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, that's the way I read this. So the article goes on to say this. Since then, Councilwoman Sanchez has felt the heat, not only from her constituents, but from social media. Look, there's even people who voted for her that are like, I'm sorry, I messed up. I didn't realize what I was getting myself into. She said she was nonpartisan. I messed up. There's a lot of people like that that are out there. So it says this, on Tuesday, Sanchez told KTVB that what strikes her as odd was that her post has gotten more reaction than what led her to write the letter in the first place. Someone fired a weapon at a peaceful protest. In my opinion, I think what she had said about members of this community because of the color of their skin is more alarming than what that kid did. Even if he did it on purpose,
yeah.
What she is doing is more dangerous. See, that kid's not in a position of leadership,
right?
But she is. She's an elected official. So it says this. It's not, this is what she's saying. It's not an injustice this young man did what he did, putting people's lives in danger and his life in danger, but that nobody said anything. Well, obviously somebody said something because a kid went to, you know, jail for a while. He's got community service and all these other things. But it says, everybody dismissed it. Oh, it was an accident. You don't accidentally leave your home with a ginormous gun with ammunition. Well, first of all, it's a rifle. It's not a gun, okay? But that's a sermon for another day. And then she says, it was chambered with the safety off, and he went downtown threatening people. Did he get arrested for threatening people or for discharging a firearm in city limits? All right. So he wasn't going around pointing it at people and be like, oh, you want to say something? What's up? You want to do something? Do something, right? There's a big difference there. I don't feel that this gentleman was exercising his First and Second Amendment rights. What I believe he was doing is exercising his rights as a white man in our culture, where you are always given the benefit of the doubt. Well, that's funny because that fool from the CDH today didn't give me the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
And that faggot that wrote me that threatening message on Monday didn't give me the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
You tell them, Uriah. See, even the kids cry out and know what's up. We have children here, 4 years old, that have way more intelligence than these council people do. She said, that's not what people of color experience in our community. So it goes on to say, Sanchez says she wasn't expecting a reaction when she wrote the letter, but felt she needed to say what was on her mind. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And you know what else the Bible says about a fool? What? They can't do that, right? They have to always run in that mouth every time. Always. They always have to be just saying what is on their mind. They can't just pause and think and meditate, you know, and say, you know, am what I about to say going to edify anybody, going to help anybody out? You know, you're in a position of leadership and you didn't think that sending a racist email to someone's parents would get attention? You are crazy. You are more blind than what I thought before I even began this study.
Yeah.
She says this, so I guess when I titled that to the parents of Michael Wallace, I guess I meant all of us, Sanchez said. We are all his parents, and none, and if none of us are going to speak up, what does that say about our parenting? It's not very good. Well, I'm pretty sure his parents had something to say. Well, you think his parents were like, good job. You discharge a firearm in city limits, and now we're going to make the news, and this is going to be great. We won the battle. I seriously doubt it. Sanchez said the silence toward the fact that Wallace shot off a gun, rather than questioning about why he did it, is difficult for her to understand. There's a lot of things that are difficult for her to understand,
yeah.
Because she lacks judgment, she cannot be trusted with responsibility, and she's a fool.
Yep, that's right.
But the focus instead shifted to Sanchez, who is of Mexican descent, a racist. She says this, I find that fascinating, Sanchez said. I shot off my mouth. Is it really more dangerous what I said than someone going to our state house with their gun ready to hurt somebody? He did not have the safety engaged. I just don't think me calling that out is more dangerous or harmful than someone going downtown putting people's lives in danger. That is a very vague statement to say. So we've already seen her attitude towards people that open carry,
yeah.
Right? If she sees a black person open carry who's a patriot, she's going to look down on that person just as well.
Oh, yeah.
She's just not going to blog about it, right? She's going to be like, oh, it's just all these white boys down here with guns, right? Because we're all racist. Right, everybody down there apparently had Ku Klux Klan hats on and were dancing around the cross. Apparently that's what her mindset is like. Okay, she says, I lost my place here. Where's it at? Okay. I feel the fact that so much attention has been brought to it is just not because it was hyperbolic. I think it's because it's true, and it's hard to hear the truth, Sanchez said. It's unfortunate that what I said is construed as an attack against our police department. Well, a lot of police are white.
Yeah.
Not all of them, but, you know, if you're talking about white boys being the problem of America, and you're a cop and you're a white boy, you're probably not going to like that too much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they were down there trying to keep the peace. It's unfortunate that what I said is construed as an attack against our police department. That wasn't my intention at all because the department reflects our community. Well, why did you vote to defund them then? And like I said, like, I'm not all about the cops either, okay? I do wish they were like the fire department and just, you know, more reactionary. I don't like them driving up and down the street, clocking me as I'm going down 5 miles when I'm late to a call, okay? I don't like that at all. You went 5 miles over. You need to get right, you know? But I'm not, at the same time, you know, in our world today, we do need the police. If they can defund the police, they will become the police. Right. We saw that in Seattle.
Yeah.
Okay? We're not that stupid. So it goes on to say this. The last line of the letter reads, love Lisa Sanchez, brown woman who chose not to have children for fear of their abuse and murder by white people. So she's not afraid about any other skin color of people harming her children. Just the white man. Just white boys. I highly doubt that. It's anybody who's not a commie Marxist is what it is. She goes, here's what she says. I stand by that. I stand by that. She does not back down. You know what? We're not going to back down either.
Yeah.
We're going to keep going knocking doors. Oh, you're going to wear a mask. So what? Yeah. I'll be back tomorrow.
Right.
Get a good look at my grill because I'm coming right back.
Yeah.
I stand by that, Sanchez said. Right now, we're all paying attention to these instances of police brutality, where black people have been killed seemingly for no good reason. You know what? That's just a can of worms right there, because there's all sorts of people. There are white people who have been killed by police.
Yeah.
There are black police officers who have killed black people.
Yeah.
But you're not going to hear about that in the media. Why? Because the goal is to divide and conquer. And when you have a community that has their head so far in the TV they can see China, they will never understand that. They cannot get it. Well, the reality is that people of color living in this country, we are not always killed like that. We are killed slowly, systematically, and the result is the same. Sanchez says she has no regrets publishing the letter, but does have one regret with what's been happening across the country. I regret that we all have to feel pain as we grow. But we have to, right? This is painful work, and make no mistake, there is no one that feels the pain more than me, because I know I'm going to have to do something that is going to put me in a situation where people are going to call me horrible names, Sanchez said. But notice how she describes this as work. You see, they are working overtime right now to divide people. That's what they're doing.
Right.
Because they lack judgment, they can't be trusted with responsibility, and they're foolish, they're devils. And it's a work. I mean, that's what they're doing. The media is working full time to get us distracted with all this virus stuff so they can come around and empower people of these local agencies and basically just start harassing those who don't want to go along with the commie narrative.
Yep.
Right? You know what? Look at that. I'll tell you this. I went into this tea company the other day. It was Tuesday. Right? And you know one of the questions they asked? They asked me like 10 questions. You know, do you have a fever? Have you had a fever in the last 7 days? Have you been around anybody with the coronavirus? Have you tested positive for the coronavirus in the last 7 days? You know, just all these questions, like, no. You know, I'm just like singing these check marks, you know, like Brother Jeff just, you know. And finally, one catches my eye. Have you been a part of a group of 300 or more people in the last 7 days? Nope. 50? No. 20? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No, you know what I mean? Right? Not a hypocrite. I'm being honest with you. You know, I got a job to do, right?
Yeah.
So I said, no, but I was just thinking about that. And I was like, wait a second. That's an attack on churches. That means those employees that come to work there every single day, they have to answer no to that. And it's like, what are you saying? You're saying that your people that work here cannot go to church?
Yeah.
If there's more than like, I think the lowest one was 10 people. Have you been part of a gathering of 10 or more people? It was like 300, 50. 2010, right? It's like they just couldn't wait to get down to the meat of the matter, you know, the 10 people. Because they know that most churches are probably 10 people or more. That's ridiculous. And so, Look, if that's not enough to convince you that this person is seriously disqualified from her position, there's no help for you. There's no hope for you, right? It is what it is. Now, here's the thing. There's another councilman, and I'm not going to take weeks to go through each one of them. This is the last guy I'm going to talk about. His name's Jimmy Halliburton, and he and her are two peas in a pod. And this is a white boy. This guy is white. So the article goes on to say this. Sanchez said people are afraid to speak up because of underlying fear they will be treated the same way she has been treated. She does not expect the hate to stop unless people begin to speak out. And remember how last week we read that quote, well, most of the quote from that guy who was like, you're fat, you're ugly, you suck, you destroyed Boise, you know, and she went to the police, which is ironic because she voted to defund the police. She supports Black Lives Matter and all these commie Marxist organizations, right? But yet someone says something hateful or disgusting to you. They didn't threaten to kill you. They didn't threaten to jump you. They didn't threaten any physical harm towards you. They made fun of your appearance. They made fun of your lack of discernment. They made fun of the fact that you're a commie. Yep. And she goes to the police, and the police were like, it's not a direct threat. Well, it's kind of funny. On, I think it was Monday. I can't remember now. I get these all the time. I get this message from a San Francisco area code. Gee, I wonder what manner of person sent me this message. Someone is going to get their brains blown out here real soon. Gee, I wonder who they were talking about. I didn't go to the police. First of all, because I don't think they'll do anything about it. And second of all, I've got a bag of tricks with me just about everywhere I go, and I'm not afraid. Okay, if they come in here, it would be the biggest mistake of their lives. We have the right to self-defense. This isn't a Shaolin monastery. Right? We're not monks in here. Right. These, you know, people out in the community, they have this idea that, oh, I'll just go into church and have my way with those people, and they have to do whatever I say. Well, that ain't going to work in this church. Amen. Look, I'm all about walking away, turning the other cheek and all that stuff, but you know what? I'm 41 years old. I can't run very fast. If you come at me, you're going down. It's just the way it is. Yeah. Right? We have the right to defend ourselves. Right. And you know what? These threats come in all the time, all the time. And yeah, it pisses me off. It bothers me. Right, but not to the point to where I'm going to let it sway my ministry. I'm not going to let it stop me from working for God. I'm not going to cry about it. I'm not going to go to the police about it. I just keep marching on. I'm like, these people are so foolish to send me these threats on a text message with their telephone, their telephone number. So we're going to start cataloging them all, phone number, you know, and see if we can get a name. We'll write the name down, you know, Facebook page, all that stuff. Yeah. So if you do come in here and we have to toss you out, we can then go to the police and say, hey, look, I know it wasn't a direct threat because he said someone's brains will get blown out soon, right? I know that's not direct, but here's the thing. Let me just stop right there. What if somebody said that to one of these council people? Then how would the game be changed? Right. I'll bet the cops would take that serious. Oh yeah. I'll bet you they would take that very seriously. What if somebody sent that to the president? You know, do you think that the person who sent that message would be able to say, oh, it wasn't a direct threat? That's a threat. Oh, yeah. Right? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out who they're talking about and what they want to do to me. Right. Yeah. To us in here, okay? But this guy, he's just frustrated. He doesn't know what else to do. He realizes the sign waving and the, you know, the signatures and stuff didn't work. And so, you know, he just goes with what he knows and he flips out and sends a hate, you know, a nasty, it's not even a hateful message. Yeah. You know, it's just like schoolyard talk. You suck, you're weak, you know, that kind of stuff, right? You're fat, you're ugly. They don't know what else to do. They're ensnared. They don't have the right knowledge, okay? But we got to move on here. So the article says this, one of her colleagues, first year councilman Jimmy Halliburton has spoken up. So now here comes the hero in white shining armor to her rescue, right? He referred to Sanchez as a friend and a mentor. What happens if the blind lead the blind? Where do they fall? In the ditch. That's right. And what is it that these blind hypocrites do? They ensnare people, right? So they're going to take everybody with them. Right, so he referred to Sanchez as a friend and a mentor and mentioned they have voted similar to one another at council meetings. In a Facebook post, Halliburton acknowledges that this is not the first threatening or hateful message Sanchez has received. He also admitted that he has received similar messages. And look, this isn't a hateful sermon towards these individuals. But you know what? If they hate God, I'll admit it, I hate them. Amen. And the things that they say indicate that they do hate God. Yep. And I've got no problems with that at all. We could justify that biblically. So it goes on to say this, you know, we've all received these messages. He goes on to say this. That one was the first one I actually saw in front of me, and it made me really sad, and it made me really scared. Why did that make you scared? Are you scared you go to Kauai? Because somebody called her a pig and scum of the earth and said she ruined Boise? Right, I'm so scared, man. I'm shaking in my boots. I'm scared. What would happen if Captain Sodomite with a 415 area code sent him the same message he sent me? Oh, he probably wouldn't, because I think they're of the same persuasion if you catch what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Speculation at this point. So he was really scared. Okay. I mean, look, it's scary to call somebody a scumbag. She has to deal with this on a regular basis. Why don't you come down here and look at my inbox? And then I'll give you something to be scared about. We voted pretty similarly on a lot of issues. I've never had to deal with any of that before in my entire life. I doubt that. While he has received some hateful messages, it is nothing to the extent Sanchez has. Halliburton, however, believes he knows why. So here we go. Here's your councilman with counsel. Okay. He's going to give you some counsel here, okay? He knows why. He knows why he's received some hate messages, but not a lot like she has. Because I'm white. I'm not even making this stuff up. This is one of those sermons where I almost came here last night to practice, because I don't know if I'm going to be able to stop myself from just busting up and laughing. If I fall down, somebody else is going to have to come up here and finish this off, right? It's because I'm white. Because I'm a dude. Because I took a lot of other people who are sending these things. Or no, because I look like a lot of other people who are sending these things. So it's only white people that are sending these messages, right? We know that because we went to their houses and we verified. I get a lot more permission to mess up without it becoming a major issue. You see where this is going? Halliburton said, for somebody to mess up or misspeak and then your automatic response is to recall them, I have that extra privilege. It's something I'm really lucky for, and it's something that when I do see it, I speak out. So what he's saying is he knows why he doesn't get as many hate messages as she does. One, here's reality, because not a lot of people know who this guy is. Number two, he's in his first term. Yeah. And number three, he hasn't watched his sermon yet. Yeah. Okay. So let me read that last sentence again. It's something I'm really lucky for. It's something. What is the it's? White privilege. He is proud of his white privilege. This is what he said. It's something I'm really lucky for. You know what I didn't read after this? I didn't read Sanchez going after him for saying, how dare you be so proud and thankful for your white cracker privilege. You white crackers. Ah, man, it's something I'm really lucky for, and it's something that when I do see it, I speak out. The Instagram account that sent that message to Sanchez does not exist anymore, so they deleted it. Go figure, right? They're probably scared. Sanchez sent the message to Boise police after speaking with an officer. She was told the message was not a direct threat. She has not heard anything more from them at this time, meaning she expects to hear more. She hopes that they will get their act together and come save her. Yeah. How dare you call me a nasty name? Could you imagine how busy the police were if they had to go run around and find everybody who called somebody a bad name? Yeah. So that is that. That's all I can take from Captain Halliburton. That is, dude, I don't even know what to say. I mean, what do you say? Fool. Yeah. Foolish. You're a fool. Man. And people voted for you.
Yeah.
Look, I looked this guy up on Facebook. You get about halfway down his page, if that's even a thing. For me, it was like 30 seconds. You know, I my attention span's not that good anymore, but there it is. Right, I'm scrolling, I'm looking for something. You know, I find a guy who endorsed him that's a big commie Obama lover. Scroll down a little bit farther, and the Sodomite community of Boise endorsed him.
Yeah.
Hey, he says, even though I'm not from that community, you know, I'm still thankful, and we still need to produce that kind of change. And like, he's sold out for these people, these faggots. I mean, he wants to really just elevate them and put them into every facet of government you could imagine and just really lift these people up. And that's a bad idea. We know that. They destroy people. Anytime you read about them getting power of any sort, what do? They turn around and rend you. Every time they tear you up, they tear you apart. So I mentioned something earlier, you know, about that comment that Lisa Sanchez wrote about how, you know, everybody open carrying guns is just basically displaying their white supremacy. Right. Here's what's funny about that. So Lisa Sanchez, if you look her up, it says Lisa Sanchez, city council seat, whatever, I think it's number two or something like that. And it says nonpartisan. Okay. So just listen to this. It says the city council of Boise has a strong mayor council form of government in which the mayor acts as the city executive, overseeing day-to-day operations of the city, while the six-member city council serves as the legislative body with policy setting and budgetary authority. Council members are elected at large by popular vote of all the residents of the city of Boise. Right? And she, keep this in mind, she ran as a nonpartisan. Okay? And that means that she is not biased or particularly for any party, which we know doesn't exist. Everybody has their views and their, you know, where they stand. So to further prove my point, she's a hypocrite and a liar, okay? Anybody tells you they're nonpartisan, they're just lying to you, okay? They're just lying to you. So it goes on to say, the city council members are elected at large by a popular vote of all the residents of the city of Boise. While they're elected to a particular seat, those seats are not determined geographically. The offices of both mayor and city council are nonpartisan, and elections are held in odd number years, right? So she's not, this is one of the reasons, or one of the, reasons or excuses that the people were trying to say that they could get Sanchez and Mayor McLean out of here is because they ran as nonpartisan. Turns out they're both commies, okay? Yeah. Well, there's a lot more reasons than just that, and I've already mentioned those. So I want to show you how this goes further into hypocrisy real quick, and we'll be done. The city of Boise, Idaho held elections for city council on November 7th, 2017. A runoff, if necessary, was held on December 7th, 2017. Three of the six seats on the city council were up for election. The filing deadline for candidates who wish to run in this election was September 8th, 2017. Lisa Sanchez defeated Frank Walker, Logan Campbell, Rachel Misnick, and Paul Fortin in the Boise City Council seat number two general election. So she beat Frankie, Logan, someone named Rachel, and Paul. She beat four people. Everybody with me? She beat these people for the seat, for seat number two of the city council. Here's what's ironic about that. They're all white. I went and looked every one of them up. They're all white. So apparently we're doing pretty good, right? I think we're doing pretty good in Boise. Yeah. Except for you got hoodwinked, Boise, and you voted in a commie.
Yeah.
And not just her. Mayor McLean's a commie too.
That's right.
And so is Halliburton. He's a sodomite-loving, no judgment, no responsibility, heretic piece of junk. These people are trash. Yeah. They want to turn this country into communist China,
right,
or far worse.
Yeah.
They want to turn it into Sodom and Gomorrah, where we don't work, we just go and look for new people to basically have our way with. That's really what they want. That's what this all boils down to. That's where this road leads. This is why the kings of Israel in the old time had to kick the Sodomites out of the land.
Amen.
Because there is no reasoning with them. There is no counseling them. There is no telling them, hey, what you're doing is wrong. It doesn't work. They don't care. They've already made up their mind. They've already been rejected by God. They've already been given over to a reprobate mind. You cannot reason with those people.
Right.
So isn't that funny? She beats everybody. Look, she beat Frank Walker by a landslide. She smoked him. 44% to 25. She roasted this guy. And you say, well, it could be maybe the election was hijacked. You know, and who cares? She still beat him.
Yeah.
She smoked him. She beat all white people. So what does that say? Well, yeah. What conclusions can we draw? It's not about the skin color, like I said. It's about dividing and conquering for communism. That's what it's about. And remember, exaltation is their motivation, right? She's exalting herself as this victim, as this super spiritual, morally righteous person who would never do anything wrong, who's just looking out for all these white boys with white privilege. And then you got weak-sauce soy boy Jimmy Halliburton over here saying, you know, oh, I got my white privilege, and, you know, I got to check people once in a while when they say it. And man, I was scared. And this guy used to be a firefighter. Seriously, man. The truth is stranger than fiction.
Yep.
Turn to 2 Corinthians 4 and we'll be done. The Bible says in Psalm 33:10, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. They think that they're going to win. And they will have temporary victory. But you know what? The end thereof is going to be that Jesus Christ wipes the floor with them.
Amen.
And sends them to hell.
Yep, that's right.
Not for their works, but because they've rejected Christ and went on and followed the works of the devil.
Right.
To set up a system of government that ensnares and traps the people. Look, what I see in all of this is an attack against us.
Yep.
It's an attack against God's people. It's an attack on the message that we bring out to the community because they know it has power. They know it has truth, and they know that it changes lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm just going to leave with some application and we're done. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God, lowercase g, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And then Paul tells us what we're going to do about that, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. You see, this is the right attitude. This is the answer to hypocrisy. We're not out there preaching ourselves.
Right.
We're not out there, hey, look at me. Look at all the works I did. Hey, look at all the malto meal I sent to Africa. Look at all the shoes I sent down there. Right? We don't do that.
Right.
We go out and we exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, the exact opposite of what a hypocrite does.
Right.
We're out there on someone else's behalf. Someone else that's the hero.
Amen.
He did all the hard work.
Right.
Not us. Not us. That's the real answer, right, is to humble ourselves. If exaltation is their motivation, then let humility be our motivation.
Yeah.
Verse number 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And that's what this thing is all about, going out there and giving people light. I'd like to take that guy who wrote that letter to Lisa Sanchez and get him saved.
Amen.
Wake him up. Give him a lamp. You know, give him one of those headlamps, right? Brother Jeff knows what I'm talking about, right? You get that spiritual headlamp, and then all of a sudden you can see what your feet are doing.
Right.
And then you can see what other people's feet are doing. And then you wake up, and you're like, oh, I get it now. Now I can really make change, right? These people all want to make change,
yep.
And I get it. And we've signed their petitions, and we love them. But they will never make a difference until they get on the Lord's side. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Right.
So going out there without Him is futile.
Yep.
It's futile. And you know, all that does is tempt those people into being hypocrites. Because then they too will go out there, hey, look at what we're doing, man. We're in a fight. We're in a battle. We're doing this. Oh, I did this. Oh, I went down there. You know, and it's like, you didn't do anything. You didn't do anything. It would be better if you do all that stuff, but on the other side, you're also preaching the gospel, you're reading the Bible, you're praying, you're doing all the things that we talk about, right? That's where the fight is. That's where the battle's at. That's what we have to realize. We have to be a humble people and fight against hypocrisy. Because look, there's a reason why Jesus warned about being a hypocrite, because even Christians can fall into that prey. And he described leaven of the Pharisees. Remember what he said? It's hypocrisy.
Right?
So when we tolerate hypocrites, or when we allow ourselves to become hypocrites, what's the end result? It affects other people. It's cancerous. It's contagious. It's deadly, and we've got to fight against it. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, for this church, Lord. I thank you for the freedoms and responsibilities that we still have, Lord. I just want to pray for all those out there, Lord, that want to make a difference, but they don't understand what they're doing. They don't know how to do it the right way. Just pray you wake them up, Lord, and send them to us that we might train them up in the right way and give them that lamp that you spoke of, Lord, and go out there and be victorious for you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.